Father, I just thank you and I praise you. I thank you for Reverend Barbara doing the special flagging, and that I'll give you honor. And Father God, this is a special time of the year for your children to worship you and to adore your Son. And Father God, I want you to open up every spiritual ear that's here this morning. I want you to pour yourself into your people today. In every need, Father God, I would like to have it met. And Father, we just thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning is Palm Sunday. We don't have the palms because God said I wasn't to have the palms, because the last 2 years we had the palms, they were desecrated. People threw them on the floor. They didn't wave them. They just weaved crosses, and that's fine, weaving crosses, but you just did not honor the palm branch the way it should have been. So that's why we don't have any today, all right? God doesn't like people to desecrate anything that's in His Word. But today is Palm Sunday. We didn't forget to order palms. God said not to. All right, Palm Sunday is also known as Passion Sunday. It's an occasion for reflecting on the final week of Jesus' life. It is a time for Christians to prepare their hearts for the agony of His crucifixion and the joy of His resurrection. We just really need to you're on the fast. I'm glad the fast is over at the end of this week, because some of you are just wasting away to nothing, and I don't recognize you anymore. But I know that everybody's drawn closer to God, and that you're reaping a great bountiful harvest from the Father for sacrificing your food. Amen. So see, that's good. You get to eat on Easter. I'm glad Lou Engle did that, right? Fix it so you can eat on Easter. All right, on Palm Sunday, remember Jesus Christ, fully God and fully man, humbling himself by riding into Jerusalem on a donkey. Humbling himself. The body of Christ doesn't know what the word humility means. We want to be exalted. We want to be seen, recognized all the time, and that's just not what it's all about. So Jesus humbled himself by riding into Jerusalem on a donkey, not to overtake the city, but that through him the city and the world might be saved. This is what Jesus is all about. So that each one of us can be saved and one day sit in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. I don't know about you, but I've been getting excited about what God's doing. And I could just imagine, when Jesus comes to take us away, and all the activity that's going on in heaven right now, preparing a way for us to be there. And then I'm also excited about we're going to come back and rule and reign for 1,000 years without any darkness. We're just going to be happy, happy, happy. I'm looking forward to those times. But until those times occur, we have to fight. We are in the battle of our lives, and we have to fight the good fight of faith. We have to destroy the enemy at every turn. We just can't sit idly by and say, God, you do it, because that just is not how it works. You have a part to play in this also. All right. Matthew 21, 1 through 11 says, the royal welcome. When they neared Jerusalem, this was Jesus and his disciples, having arrived at Bethphage on Mount Olives, Jesus sent 2 disciples with these instructions. Go over to the village across from you. You'll find a donkey tethered there, her colt with her. Untie her and bring them to me. If anyone asks what you're doing, say the master needs them. He will send them with you. Now see, Jesus already knew where the donkey was tied. God wants to give you foreknowledge also. He wants you to understand what's going on before it ever goes on. And I'm hoping and believing in each one of you that you're really drawing really close to God, and you're asking God to give you foreknowledge of what is coming before you. All right? Because you don't want to just muddle along. You want to understand what you're heading into, so that you can prepare yourself for it. Are you all understanding that? It's time. See, the body of Christ has been so used to just sitting in a chair and having some pastor preach to them. then they go home and do nothing for their own life, and you're not prepared for what is coming. God always wants to forewarn us of what is coming in our lives. All right, then, so verse 3 says, if anyone asks what you're doing, say the master needs them, he will send them with you. Then verse 4, this is a full story of what was sketched earlier by the prophet. In the Old Testament says, tell Zion's daughter, look, your king's on his way, poised and ready, mounted on a donkey, on a colt full of a pack animal. And it was already prophesied this is what was going to happen. The disciples went and did exactly what Jesus told them to do. They led the donkey and colt out, laid some of their clothes on them, and Jesus mounted. Nearly all the people in the crowd threw their garments down on the road, giving him a royal... Now see what these people were doing? Giving him a royal welcome. Others cut branches from the trees and threw them down as a welcome mat. Crowds went ahead and crowds followed. All of them calling out, Hosanna to David's son. Blessed is he who comes in God's name, Hosanna in highest heaven. As Jesus made his entrance into Jerusalem, the whole city was shaken, unnerved. People were asking, what's going on here? Who is this? See what happened when he entered? Everybody stopped what they were doing, and everybody took notice that Jesus entered the scene. Each one of us sitting here today, you should understand and know that Jesus has entered the scene of your life. You should feel him. You should smell him. You should just know that he is there. He's made a triumph entry into your life, and he wants to be with you, and he wants to work with you, and he wants you to overcome because of his power and his authority. The parade crowd answered, this is the prophet Jesus, the one from Nazareth in Galilee. Jesus was fulfilling an Old Testament prophecy when he did all that. And Zechariah 9:9 says, rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem, behold, your king is coming to you. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey. How many of you are fulfilling your destiny? How many of you are working diligently at listening to the voice of the Father and then doing everything he's asking you to do? This is what the body of Christ is supposed to be doing. How are you going to lead the lost and dying that God's going to send into the house of God if you can't take care of your own life? Come on. I want you to really take heart this morning because God is getting ready to just bust the doors wide open. I should say the windows of heaven wide open. And he's getting ready to pour out his glory like never before. And are you really ready? Have you been preparing yourself to be a glory carrier where God can use you to minister to the lost and the dying? We never know what we're going to run into from day to day. We just don't know. We have to be prepared for whatever is lying ahead of us. And we do that by walking really super close to our Father. I mean, really super close to our Father. Amen. This Sunday, we are remembering Jesus' triumph entry into Jerusalem, which occurred near the end of his public ministry, which was spent almost entirely outside Israel's capital city. When Jesus entered the city with his entourage, people laid palm and olive branches on the road before him and greeted him as a long-awaited Messiah, shouting, blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. I want you to really see how they were praising him and giving him honor and giving him glory at this point. And it's then what they do later on. But see, we are the very same way. When everything's going all right, we give God all the honor, all the glory. We can just praise and worship him. But let a little bit of trouble come your way, and you immediately turn tail and you start saying, God, why are you allowing this to come into my life? See, we still have not understood the total and complete gospel. We still don't understand what our calling in life is all about. It's not about you being rich, blessed, you know, whatever you want to call it. We're supposed to be blessed. But we are down here on assignment. And we are God's vessels of honor that he's working through to minister to those who don't know him. And the only way you're really going to have an impact on somebody's life is if you have a testimony of what you went through and how God brought you through it. Now, your testimony can be, I really went through it really good, or I went through it grumbling. But, you know, and we're all human, and sometimes we go through it good, and sometimes we go through it grumbling. And if we figure it's going on too long, we really grumble. But see, this God didn't say, I'm going to, you know, just be happy when it goes on for a week. He's saying, be happy. It doesn't matter how long it goes on. All right? All right, so their celebrating didn't last long. As they heard his teachings and saw his behavior, both religious leaders and people in the streets turned against Jesus. See that? Isn't that what that's going on today? I'm reading where church after church is closing down and people are upset with God. Within days, the adoring crowds were shouting, "Crucify him." Come on. Be honest with yourself. Before you became sanctified like you are right now, while you're fasting, there were days where you wanted to crucify God too. In other words, say, "God, are you really serious? You're really calling me to do this?" Yes, he is. He's serious, and he's calling you to do it. Somebody has to do it. Why not you? Come on. Each gospel relates the next few days differently, but the common elements are Jesus entered Jerusalem and began to teach the people about the kingdom of God and the leaders about their hypocrisy and God's coming judgment. Jesus threw money changers out of the temple and sparked a growing conspiracy against him, and he kicked over the tables. People didn't like him when he started doing this kind of stuff. They liked him when he was just a mild, humble, you know, man walking the streets and praying for people. But when he got serious, people didn't like him. See, when you get serious and you tell somebody you need to get your act together, they no longer think you're the greatest thing on earth. They really don't. They want to crucify you. But as long as you're letting them go and letting them do what they want to do and you're patting them on the back, they think you're the best thing going. You can all witness to that, right? But the minute God says to you, "All right, now I want you to tell them something," and you know, "Oh no." You know, like God said to me the other day, "All right, it's time now. You can go to this person, and this is what I want you to say." So I have it all laid out, and I have to go and tell them about their self. Are you listening here? And, you know, before I go, I'm going to pray really hard because I know themselves is going to get upset. They're that just that type of person. All right, verse 12, Jesus went straight to the temple and threw out everyone who had set up shop, buying and selling. He kicked over the tables of loan sharks and stalls of dove merchants. You know, when we started this church, God told me never sell anything in the church. And somebody came here and wanted me to sell hot dogs in the lobby to make money. I said, "I can't do that." And they got upset with me and left the church. They thought there was something wrong with me. God does not want you to do that in the house of God. Are you listening? Come on. All right, Jesus quoted this text. "My house was designated a house of prayer. You have made it a hangout for thieves. Now there was room for the blind and crippled to get in. They came to Jesus and he healed them." Once he threw everything else out, the worldly stuff out, then the people could come in and be ministered to. When the religious leaders saw the outrageous things he was doing and heard all the children running and shouting through the temple, "Hosanna to David's son," they were up in arms and took him to task. "Do you hear what these children are saying?" Jesus said. "Yes, I hear them. And haven't you read in God's word, from the mouths of children and babies, I'll furnish a place of praise?" You know, we all need to become like little kids and just start praising God. It doesn't matter what's going on in our life. We just need to learn to praise the Father. We need to learn to be obedient to His voice and do the things He's calling us forth to do. We try to make our kids be obedient to us, don't we? Then why aren't we being obedient to our Father in heaven? You know, if you're not going to be obedient to your Father in heaven, don't expect your children to be obedient to you, because it's not going to work. Are you listening here? Church, it's time we grow up. It's time we understood really what Jesus did for us. And it's time we understood that we are vessels from heaven that God has sent here on assignment to complete assignment for Him and not to just entertain ourselves. Come on. Fed up, Jesus turned on his heel and left the city for Bethany, where he spent the night. Don't you know that God is mad at the church? He is really fed up with the church. And now that's why he's going into the highways and the byways. That's why he's going to the drug addicts and the prostitutes. He's going to clean them up and bring them into the house of God. Come on. Because the church has proven to God they don't want him. They still stay in their sins. They still do the things they know they're not supposed to do. They aren't humble. They're full of pride. And God is saying, enough is enough is enough. Come on. Jesus shared a last supper with his friends. Jesus was betrayed by Judas Iscariot, one of his key disciples. And after being arrested, was handed over to the Roman authorities for execution as an enemy of Caesar. Have you been reading how, this is happening overseas, how pastors are being shot? They closed down 700 churches in one day. You know, and they killed the people in the churches. You know, people are having to pay for their love for Jesus. Now, if that comes into America, are you willing to pay for following Jesus? You have to think about this now. You know, I think about this every day. You know, I love the Lord with all my heart, but I think about this every day. If somebody walked through my door and they say, deny Jesus or be shot, what would I do? I know I would be shot. But really, we don't know what we're going to do until the moment occurs. How many of you heard, well, I wouldn't have done this, I would do this, and I would do that and do the other. So what I'm saying is you have to be totally, completely sold out. I'm ready to die for Christ. But every day I check myself. Am I still ready to die for you, Father, today? I want to make sure that I am ready at every given second, that if somebody would to approach me and say either deny Christ or die, that I would die. See, we all sit around and, I would never, ever deny Christ. What did Peter do? Say, we need to quit being so, I don't know what you want to call it, blockheaded, because you don't know really what you're going to do until you get into that situation. But if you're really, truly sold out to God with every fiber of your being, you know what you're going to do. Right? I've seen too many people mess up and sin and give God a bad name. It's happening every day. And we cannot be partaker of that. God wants us to walk holy. Jesus was holy, was he not? He wants us to walk the same way his son walked. Don't go around saying, I love the Lord and I'm a Christian if you're not living it. Don't go around saying that if you're not living it. Because people are watching you. They hear what you say with your lips, but they also watch your fruit. All right? All right, number one, Jesus escapes the traps that are set by the priest. Number two, he teaches in parables and warns the people about the Pharisees. Number three, Jesus prophesies the destruction of King Herod's great temple and told his disciples about future events, including his triumph and return. You can read all that in your word. Jesus had a zeal for the house of his Father. He walked in righteousness and holiness. Do you have a zeal for God? Every place you go, does people know that you, I mean, you don't have to be spouting the word. I don't mean that. Your fruit will prove what you are. Spouting the word doesn't mean a thing. It's your fruit that you're bearing. Are you really demonstrating Jesus Christ every place you go? We've got to do this now. We haven't been doing it the way we ought, but we have to start doing this. We have to live the life that we're professing. Because God's not pleased with anything else. He wants all of us or none of us. Come on, guys. Matthew 21:18 says, early the next morning, Jesus was returning to the city. He was hungry. Seeing a lone fig tree alongside the road, he approached it, anticipating a breakfast of figs. When he got to the tree, there was nothing but fig leaves, and he said, no more figs from this tree, ever. The fig tree withered on the spot, a dry stick. The disciples saw it happen. They rubbed their eyes, saying, did we really see this? A leafy tree one minute, a dry stick the next? But Jesus was matter of fact. Yes, and if you embrace this kingdom life and don't doubt God, you'll not only do minor feats like I did to the fig tree. See, God thought that, Jesus thought that was nothing really. But also triumph over huge obstacles. The mountain, for instance, you'll tell to go jump in the lake and it will jump. Absolutely everything ranging from small to large, as you make it a part of your believing prayer, gets included as you lay hold of God. Now, I want to stop there and go back where he said, the fig tree withered on the spot, a dry stick. Guys, that's the body of Christ. We might be nice and leafy. We might be producing good fruit. But in a split second, you could dry up. One mistake could cause you your entire walk with God. This is why you have to every day continually check yourself. Where am I at in your kingdom right now, Father? Am I still worthy to be used as a vessel of honor? Every day you have to check this out. Please don't let one day go by without checking yourself out. God told me one day, daughter, in any given second you could lose your salvation. And sometimes when I get upset, I could lose my salvation. So we have to make sure we don't allow people to make us upset. You know, the Bible says, be angry and sin not. But sometimes people can make us go beyond the sin not. And we have to be very careful of that and not allow people to rub us the wrong way. All right? True authority in Matthew 21:23. Then Jesus was back in the temple teaching the high priest and leaders of the people came up and demanded, show us your credentials. Who authorized you to teach here? You do not need credentials to teach the word of God. All you need to do is be a vessel yielded to God, and have the anointing of God flowing through you, and then go out there and teach the word. When I was ordained, they said, well, how many diplomas do you have, or what schools have you gone to? You know, I didn't go to any Bible college. I went to college, but not Bible college. And I said, that doesn't matter. God called me to preach. And God showed up and proved to them he called me. So don't let people say you don't have the right credentials. You do have the right credentials. You're a child of the Most High God. You're following God with all your heart. You're walking in holiness and righteousness and purity of heart. And you have a right to preach. There's a whole lot of people in behind pulpits that should not be behind pulpits. And that is the fact. There's a whole lot of evangelists out there that should not be out there evangelizing. There's a whole lot of prophets that are false prophets. So don't let somebody say to you, well, you don't have the right credentials. Are you walking in holiness? Are you walking in righteousness? And are you listening to the voice of God and doing the things that God is calling you for to do? Are you carrying out your assignment perfectly? No. Don't say you are. No, you're not. I'm just learning that lesson the hard way. No, you're not. You think you are, but you're not. You have to seek God's face every day to understand, what am I going to do with my assignment today? Are you hearing me here? There are a lot of people you're going to talk to. You might be talking to a brick wall because they don't want to hear you. Walk away. Shake the dust off your feet and walk away. God will send somebody that they'll listen to. Don't you try to be the one to save them. If they're rejecting you, then walk away. Don't make them a worse sinner If I stand there or argue with him, walk away. Just say, God loves you, and walk away. God told me one time, if I can't save them, the Holy Spirit can't save them, what makes you think you can save them? Are you listening here? See, I was trying to get everybody saved, and you're not going to get everybody saved. Somebody else might get that person saved, but they're not assigned to you. All right? This is very important you learned this lesson this morning. Verse 24, Jesus responded, first, let me ask you a question. You answer my question, I'll answer yours. So they said, where's your credentials? And verse 25, about the baptism of John, this is Jesus speaking, who authorized it, heaven or humans? They were on the spot and knew it. They pulled back into a huddle and whispered, if we say heaven, he'll ask us why we didn't believe him. If we say humans, we're up against it with the people because they all hold John up as a prophet. See that? They decided to concede to that round to Jesus. We don't know, they answered. And Jesus said, then neither will I answer your question. You know, don't be bullied by people. And don't argue the word. God didn't tell you to argue the word. Know the word. Have it hidden deep in your heart, but don't argue the word. How do you know there's a Jesus? I just do. You know, and I'm not sitting here and argue with you about it. I just do. Amen. How many of you have actually had people say, how do you know there's a heaven and a hell? How do you know there's a Jesus? You know, what if you're just doing this and one day you find out there isn't? My answer to that to somebody was one day, well, then I'm having fun while I'm believing there is. And I'm not going to go to hell. I know that because I'm not in torment like you are. Amen. I hope you're having fun following Jesus, because if you're not having fun following Jesus, then there's something wrong with your walk. Because you should be having fun following Jesus. No matter what's going on around about you, you might get upset for a second, but it's not going to destroy your life for a week. Are you listening here? Palm Sunday should remind Christians that their faith originates in Jesus' humble submission to death on a cross. Palm Sunday should remind Christians that their faith originates in Jesus' humble submission to death on a cross. Please remember that. It's not about your Easter bunny. It's not about the basket of candy. It's about Jesus' submission so that you and I one day could go to heaven. On the first day of the week, Jesus rode into Jerusalem on a donkey. The crowd welcomed him with Hosanna, glory to God in the highest. This was prophecy being fulfilled. Zechariah spoke of this when he said, rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, daughter of Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you righteous and having salvation, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. Now, we hear this every year. You might read it in between, but do we really understand it? Is it really embedded in our spirits that this is a prophetic word that was spoke way back before Jesus was ever born and God finally brought it to pass? God has been giving you prophetic words, but what are you doing with your prophetic words? This year is the year that God wants to place you. If you don't get into your ministry this year, God said you're going to spend 10 years going around the mountain before you ever come back to where you can go in your ministry again. So if you're sitting in here and God's called you into ministry and you're still dragging your feet, I wouldn't drag them much longer, because God's going to pass you by and give that ministry to somebody else. He said he's going to give your mantle to somebody else. And you can stand there and wail and cry and kick your feet and carry on, and you can go out and do it all on your own with no anointing, but you're never going to get the blessing that God has for you. And if you go out there and do it all on your own, things are not going to happen the way you want them to happen, because God anoints when he calls. And if he calls a ministry, he anoints that ministry. And I hope you're all listening this morning and just not sitting here saying, I hope it's going into your ears and then going down into your heart and embedding it in your spirit, man. Are you bypass this mind that's crazy? Are you listening? See, I keep saying, are you listening? Because God says you're not listening. He's saying the body of Christ are not listening to what's being taught to them. And because they're not listening, they don't act on it. Because they don't act on it, he can't use you. Come on. The forerunner of salvation. Scripture uses the word forerunner to describe Jesus. He is the author and perfecter of our faith, but he is also the forerunner, the one who goes before us, the one who bids us follow him. It doesn't say follow your own self, does it? It says follow Jesus. Too many people are following their own flesh. Too many people are doing what they want to do, and they do it in the name of Jesus. And it's not working. Please, guys, only do what God is telling you to do. I was sitting there this morning praising, and I started just singing in the spirit, and little Isaiah said, Mama, why are you speaking Spanish? Now, I don't know where he got that from, but you know, I knew this to do. God wanted me to just start praying in the, I was singing in the spirit. And see, do you follow? So, you know, I just prayed and sang in the spirit. Do you follow God's instructions? Are you listening 24/7 to what he's telling you to do? Because you should always be listening to the voice of God, no matter what you're doing, and do what he's telling you to do. It's time that we rise up in our most holy faith. It's time we take God at his word. It's time that we truly do become just like Jesus. And it's time that we quit giving God a bad name. Come on. Jesus knew not only betrayal, is that what I meant? Jesus knew not only betrayal, he knew shame. He took upon himself the sins of the world, our sins and everyone's. You see that he took the shame, he took the betrayal. Are you willing when you're on assignment to take the betrayal and the shame of the person that you're on assignment for or with? Come on. I would say some of you don't. I'm not going to get involved in that mess. I'm not going to have that stigma on me. Are you listening here? If God has placed you on assignment, in other words, if God has told you to minister to someone, it doesn't matter what that person is in, God expects you to minister to them and not complain about it. He expects you to minister to them and not say, well, what about the shame they're bringing on me? Are you listening here? They're not bringing shame on you anyhow. They're bringing shame on Jesus. You know, for our people that go out on the street, you know, if they couldn't go in the street if they weren't willing to walk with the dirty ones. Because those people up there don't bath most of the time. They stink. You know, it's not something they choose, but that's the way life is. And see, they're willing to go up there and get their hands dirty. They're willing to go up there and do whatever has to be done to win a soul for Christ. They're willing to give up. I think they go up Saturdays or Fridays or something. They're willing to give up that time. How many of you say, I'm not getting out of bed early to go up there in the streets. They chose that life. Let them live it. No, they didn't. No, they didn't. You don't understand devils. You don't understand generational curses. So many people are driven by devils and generational curses. And they need somebody to love them and set them free. Come on, guys. If your kids are acting up, instead of you saying, I don't know why they don't straighten up, what you ought to do is seek God's face. Why are they doing this? So if you get mad at them and casting them aside, you need to say, God, what would you have me do with them? When I first got born again, I had a daughter who was on drugs and I brought her back into my home. My pastor said, you need to get her out of your home. She's on drugs. You shouldn't be associating with her. And I went home, cried to God. I said, God, what do you want me to do? He said, I told you to bring her in here, and I want you to keep her in here no matter what she's doing. He said, if you don't love her, the world will. And you already know what the world has done to her up to this point. He said, do not put her out. So I told my pastor, I was a deacon. I said, I cannot put her out. If you don't want me to be a deacon, that's fine, but I cannot put my daughter out on the street. God told me not to. He said, no, that's fine. I know you hear God's voice. You do whatever God's telling you to do. So you guys, you do what God's telling you to do with your loved ones. You minister to them the way God wants you to minister to them. And don't worry about the churches, what the church is saying or what the world is saying. As long as you know that you're following the voice of God, then you do it. and you watch and see what God is going to do. He's going to bless and not curse. All right, then I said, Jesus knew not only betrayal, he knew shame. He took upon himself the sins of the world, our sins and everyone's sins. As God and man, he knew no sin. But he endured all that sin. He endured all that sin so we can he could bring he but he endured all that sin can bring for our sake. He endured everything that came on him for our sake. He wasn't concerned what people were saying about him. He knew what his job was. He knew what his assignment was. And so he just endured. Some of us don't endure. We really don't. We might endure for a second. I'm fed up. You don't know how many times I sit in my house. I'm fed up. This is going to stop. But God says, I'm in control. It'll stop when I stop it. He said, you better get your hands out of this because you're going to mess it up bad. But if you let me go ahead and finish what I started, it'll turn out okay. So how many of you say, this is it, I'm done. But, you know, God hasn't completed the works yet in the people so that it'll turn out the way he wants it to turn out. It's hard. It is not easy. When you have a bunch of rebellious people around you, like the church, and you're trying to get them to do what is right, and they still want to do what they want to do their way, saying, you just don't know what you're talking about. Get in the Word. The Word knows what it's talking about, right? And quit twisting the Word to suit you. You read the Word the way it really is. Put it in right perspective and allow God to do a perfect work within inside of you. All right, he hid not his face from shame and spitting. He was scourged. We hardly use that word scourged today. It means to be whipped. Romans used a scourge that was a wooden-handled whip strung with long leather strips. These strips were studded with lead and pieces of sheep bone. These scourges survived from Bible times until barely a century ago. In Britain's Royal Navy, the lash was called the cat of nine tails for the nine strips of leather. Letting the cat out of the bag was not only the telling of a forbidden secret, it was a prelude to something awful. Whole ship's companies were ordered to witness as the flesh of a man's bare back was lacerated. Men who were scourged often died of that punishment. The loss of blood and the inevitable infection scourging caused were enough to kill. Jesus endured all this before he went to the cross. He scorned its shame. You know, wouldn't it be, do you ever think about really watching a man be whipped? That's terrible. And you wonder, how can that person endure that? The pain has, I don't want that to happen to me to find out. But the pain has to be terrible. But yet people had to stand around and watch it. Look what they did to Jesus. Look how people stood around and watched and laughed and mocked. People wept too, but I can't believe the amount of people thought that was funny. All right, in the space of 5 days, Jesus went from being cheered in Jerusalem, from being hailed as a son of David, to suffering the humiliation of being betrayed, arrested, and treated as the lowest of criminals. Why did he do it? Hebrews tells us, for the joy set before him. He could see beyond Calvary, beyond the place of the skull. Now, I want you to remember that. Why did he do it? Hebrews tells us, for the joy set before him. Your assignments that God gives you, quit complaining about them. Be like Jesus, and he endured everything for the joy that was set before him. He could see beyond Calvary, beyond the place of the skull. He could see into the spirit realm. He knew what was going to happen, the great wonderful outcome of us being saved. And that's why he endured it. When God gives you an assignment, you should do it with joy because you know the end outcome should be that they're saved too. And Jesus put up with an awful lot from you. You weren't the best thing going either. So why do you expect all your assignments to be easy assignments? Come on. Some people are hard to love. But then you are too at times. Come on. If you have an assignment that you can't deal with, then God didn't give you that person to work with. You just took it upon yourself. Thought, this is a good challenge. I'm going to take it up. And it's dragging you down. You need to let go of it. But if God give you the assignment, if he gave you that person, it won't always be smooth sailing, but it won't destroy you either. It'll build you up spiritually. All right, Jesus knew what joy lay before him. He also knew what it would take to arrive at that place. See, you all don't know what it takes to arrive at the place where God's trying to take you. This is hard for us as mere humans to comprehend. Knowing the future always seems like a good idea for us, but can we bear it? Can we endure what may come to us, what our portion of sorrow and suffering will be? Jesus knew what was over that horizon. He knew he had to remain faithful to the end. Faithful to the end. This must be a source of great strength to us today. You know, God gave me an assignment and it really was hard. And I said, God, why didn't you tell me I was going to go through all this? He said, because you wouldn't have taken the assignment. He said, so I gave you this assignment and I told you it's one day at a time. So you need to quit asking God what's going to happen a year from now. And you need to just take it one day at a time. Deal with whatever goes on that day and don't worry about what's going to go on tomorrow, because if you're dealing with it one day at a time, then God's in it and God's taking care of you. Crowds who once hailed what we hail are turning away from the truth. I'm talking about the church. The church has turned away from the truth. We are daily witnessing betrayals. Many of the mighty view us with scorn, if not yet with spitting, if not yet with scourging. There's a lot of people that think we're crazy. When we truly follow God and we truly live holy and righteous, they think you're out of your mind. When you won't take a drink, when you won't smoke a cigarette, when you won't cuss or watch pornography, they think you're crazy. But God says, live holy and live righteous. And so you're supposed to, and the Bible tells us to put away worldly things, does it not? Why do you think you can go to heaven holding on to... If Brother Larry was here today, he would tell you, let go of the things of this world. Let go of them. He would tell you that, because him and I had a conversation a week before he passed. And he said, I'm waiting for the day I can get up and give a testimony of what I just learned in the last 2 months. He would tell you, sin is not worth the price. Are you listening here? Why is this? Why does the church hate you? They hated Jesus. They will hate you. The servants are not greater than their master, so expect it. Be prepared, don't lose hope, and stand together. Before Jesus entered Jerusalem that Palm Sunday morning, and before that long ago Holy Week, and we're in the Holy Week now, Jesus gave us a glimpse over the horizon. He gave us a foretaste of the resurrection when he came upon the tomb of his beloved friend Lazarus in Bethany. Dead and buried for 4 days when Jesus arrived, Lazarus arose at the command of his Lord. Lazarus came back from the dead because, as Jesus told them, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this? Yes, Lord, we do believe this, right? If you really believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, when you do your last breath, you're not dead because you go to heaven. And you live forever in peace. Today we shout Hosanna to you, Lord. Your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. I would like to encourage you to be patient in your trials. All right? After 3 years of whispers and accusations of blasphemy, with those of the world wondering if he is king, Jesus fulfilled what was spoken. He will fulfill what he has spoken over you. And he will fulfill his promise for you. Please remember that if you don't remember anything else today. Just as Jesus fulfilled what he was supposed to do on earth, Jesus is now going to fulfill in our lives. Come on. Jesus died, but he rose again. And he's coming back again the second time. the church of Jesus Christ today, we are forerunners preparing the way for the second coming of Jesus Christ. And what did John the Baptist do as the first forerunner? He prepared the way for the first coming of Jesus. And how did he prepare it? By saying, repent. Live holy, live righteous, repent. You cannot get out there and preach the word if you're not living holy 24/7. You cannot. Because the enemy is there with you, and he's going to trip you up at every turn. Living for God means you live for God. All the world has got to disappear. You cannot hold on to anything of the world. You can't. You just can't. You're going to die spiritually, eventually. Jesus is the way. He makes a way for you and I. He's always there by your side, always holding your hand. Are you understanding this? You know, with Larry's passing, I really don't want to be here this morning. But I have a work to do. God said, you have a work to complete. You have to finish your race. So I have to be here. So it doesn't matter what's going on in your life. You have a race to finish. You have to finish your race. There are souls appointed for just you to minister to. And if you don't finish your race, those souls are not going to be ministered to. So what do you think of that this morning? Jesus is the reason that we're all sitting here. And God wants to, a lot of things I've said this morning was God was just telling me, and he's telling you this. He wants to inspire you to stand up for what is right. Cast off everything that's negative and it is not truth. And go on with him. March to his drumbeat, not your own and not the devil's, but to his drumbeat. And do the works that he's calling you to do. Not that you're calling yourself to do. When I was working at the college, there was a guy in the class, and he was telling everybody, "You just go get ordained. You get ordained over the computer." I didn't even know anything about that at that time. And he says, "I got ordained," and he said, "You can get all kind of grants. I buy houses. I buy all this stuff." He said, "It's all about money." And, you know, once I got born again, it is. It's all about money. But see, that's not what it's about. It's about souls. It's not about you having a big fancy car or a big mansion to live in or $1 million in the bank. It's all about souls. So let's get our mind off of everything else and let's just say, God, Jesus died for my soul. And now I'm going to die for somebody else's soul. In other words, your flesh is going to die, and you're going to go forth and do the works God's calling you forth to do. And God's saying the altar's open right now for a special anointing, for a special anointing that Jesus had whenever he went into the temple and overturned the money changers and the tables. There's a special anointing for you to flow in from this day forth that you'll be able to go, and you're going to be able to preach the gospel, preach the truth of the gospel, and you're going to be able to live it. Some of you haven't been able to live what you've been saying because there's an anointing. The altar's open. There's anointing here today that God's going to touch you with, that's going to strengthen you and take you through whatever it is that you have to go through to fulfill the calling that God has upon your life. Come on. God said there has to be brokenness within. Brokenness within. Problem is, we're not broken within. We're still walking in our flesh, still working in our flesh. Let's just let God touch you right now. God wants you to walk. He said he wants each one of you that's coming up here to walk in holiness and purity of heart from this day forward. Never looking back. Never looking back. Never. You quit questioning him. He said you're always questioning him. Quit questioning him and just do. Just do.